It is good to have all here this morning. Some have been traveling, have been away on vacation. We're glad to have them back. Some who were traveling are not able to be with us this morning. And some are presently traveling, also not able to be with us. But whether we are away or whether we are here, we are to be diligent in our service to God. And this is the purpose for the sermon this morning. Christians are to show diligence. In our scripture reading in Nehemiah chapter 4, we notice the latter part of our scripture reading, which concluded in verse 6. So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together into the half thereof, and the final phrase, which would fit God's people of all times, if they are faithful people of God. For the people had a mind to work. I know it has been said many, many times that work is a four-letter word. And four-letter words are those things that people don't want to say or they think it's wrong to say. Work is important. And in order for us to work and to be pleasing with God, we must be diligent. For a text this morning, we've chosen Hebrews chapter 6. Verses 11 and 12, and as you turn there, we find that the writer, the penman, being directed by the Spirit to write these Jewish Christians, those who had obeyed the gospel but yet were still in danger because they were being enticed to go back under the old law. As we pick up there in verse 11, we read, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." How many times do we read a scripture and just glance over it as we read it or verbalize it and not really fully understand? He's writing that every one of you, he's talking to Christians. You Christians, those of you who have obeyed the gospel, who have become children of God, who are now together in fellowship with God and with one another. But he says that we desire that you show the same diligence unto the end. They had begun. They had started. Many of them, no doubt, had a certain amount of persecution within their lives because they were going against what many of the other Jews continued to follow. Going against many of the things that their families followed. Perhaps some loved ones, other loved ones. And it takes courage to be diligent. It takes an attitude of a mind to work, to be diligent. You know, many sermons have been preached on Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. And often the scripture is utilized when one preaches on work. And it's a proper application. But the passage also deals with diligence. I have worked with people who were a bit lackadaisical in their work. We oftentimes used to accuse my brother of leaning on the hoe handle. And we had a hoe that, I don't know if it was because of him leaning on it or not, the handle was a little bit bowed. And when we'd get it out, we'd be told, you got to go out to the garden, you got to hoe the weeds or whatever. And we'd say, well, this one belongs to him because he leans up on it. It's bowed. What was he doing? He was not showing diligence in his efforts. The Spirit had the wise man give Israel an admonition that needs to be heeded by everyone. Perhaps today, if Christians would read this passage and would heed this, they would be more diligent toward faithful service to God while there is time. I think a lot of times people say, well, you know, I'm going to work hard when I get to a certain point. No. We work hard to get that job. And then we should continue our diligence after we receive that job to receive the reward that comes from doing the job. And we look at Christianity, it's not a job. We shouldn't look at it as a job. We shouldn't look at it as work, although work is included in our service to God. But notice what the Spirit had the penman say here, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. We need to put forth diligence. And it's important. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. It's also important that our hand find the things to do that are proper in service to God. But he says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And there's a reason for this. Because there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. A very similar passage to the admonition given in our text. Christians are to show diligence. What did the Lord say to the apostles when just before he departed and ascended back to his Father? First he told them, all power is given unto me. Then he told them, go, teach, and baptize and teach. He expected them to do so with diligence. He expected them to strive, to serve, to do what he would have them do. And it's important that we do this so we can receive the reward that God has promised. I'm afraid that there are many who have obeyed the gospel, who have become children of God, who remain in fellowship with the brethren, who will sadly miss eternity with God. You say, well, how can that be? Because a servant who is not a faithful and a diligent servant is not doing as the master has declared that they do. The first thing that we need to do as we study diligence is to define it. And I know some people say, well, there's different degrees of diligence. I disagree. Diligence is diligence. And by definition, it is careful and persistent work or effort. It is endeavoring with all we have in us to do something. It is being earnest or doing something with great zeal. How about our Christian lives? We sang this morning the song, Is Thy Heart Right with God? I think Christians oftentimes also look at this like, oh, I've obeyed the gospel. I'm a member of the church. I'm good to go. We need to go. That's true. But when we ask, is our heart right with God? Is our mind focused upon doing his will? Are we dedicated? Are we diligent towards serving him? And keeping our mind under control. The second verse says, hast thou dominion over self and over sin? Is thy heart right with God? Here's a key. If we do not take the things that are improper in our lives and get them out of there, mortify those deeds, we're not going to be able to show diligence because our heart is not going to be right with God. Of course, the opposite of diligence is slothfulness. Verse 12 of our text also tells us to avoid being lazy. That ye be not slothful, not lazy, not lackadaisical, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We have to be diligent in our service to God. We have to be dedicated toward doing what God would have us do because we love him, because we desire to do what is pleasing to him. Illustrations are very important because they help us to grasp the importance of a point. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. We're going to see here how that the Jewish fathers were to diligently teach their children the law of Moses. And as you turn to that passage, you may be very well familiar with it. You may be able to quote it, or at least part of it. But the instructions are very, very specific. He begins with, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. He's talking about the mind. And with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. That's the first part of it. They were children of God. They were descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And verse 7 shows, and thou shalt teach them, what? The law of the Lord. Teach them diligently unto thy children. How are you able to carry this out? It's very simple. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. One of the most effective ways to teach a child is repetition. Teachers know this. You go over the ABCs. You don't just go over it once. You don't just look at them one time and point them out to the children and say, okay, we're going to move on to something else. And this concept, this idea was the same thing that was put forth in these passages. Walk by the way, talking about these things. When you rise up in the morning, talk about these things. When you're sitting in your house, talk about these things. When you go to bed, right before you go to bed and go to sleep, talk about these things. Why? Because their little minds will be permeated with God's law. To what end? That they might diligently serve. They had to diligently work to learn these things. What about Christians today? How much time do we spend in the Word of God? How many of us don't like repetition? If we're going to be diligent, we're going to enjoy repetition, especially when it comes to repeatedly reading and studying the Word of God. Luke chapter 15 and verse 8 provides another excellent example, and that applies even today. A woman who loses a piece of silver or jewelry will seek it diligently. Right, ladies? If you have one piece of what you might call valuable jewelry, or even if it's just something of sentimental value and you misplace it, what do? Why, I remember emptying every purse in the house, turning over every chair, looking behind the cushions, going out to the car. Because there's no stopping until the lost item is found. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house? And notice this, and seek how? Diligently, till she find it. What joy is realized when the lost item is found? But it helps us to understand what diligence is. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Yet another example. Paul wanted Timothy to put forth proper persistence in traveling to where he was. Timothy wasn't to procrastinate. Timothy wasn't to delay. He wasn't to dawdle. He says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. We don't know why Paul wanted him there. There was likely work to be done. Demas had forsaken Paul. And of course, in forsaking Paul, he forsook the Lord. Others had gone to other places to preach and teach the word of God. Timothy was needed. Be diligent. Come quickly. And diligence ought to characterize everything that we do, including our worship. How much do we put into worship? You stop and think about it. Who is supposed to be working while worship is going on? Every Christian in the room. Diligence ought to define our service. When we do things in service to God, our work, in meeting our family responsibilities, all kinds of things. And so in our gathering this morning, I want to examine three specific activities in which we are to show diligence. And I'll guarantee you these will carry over. Diligence will carry over into other areas of our lives as well. First and foremost, we are to keep our hearts with all diligence. Now we all understand when we talk about hearts, we're talking about our minds. You ever had your mind to wander? It's hard sometimes, isn't it? Somebody will say something, you'll start thinking about a phrase you've heard or something, that, and you'll miss part of what the person is saying. It happened this morning in our class. I asked a question, and somebody was looking down, they were reading. Excuse me, what did you say? Why? They were not diligently listening to me. What they were doing was not wrong. They were looking at the Word of God. They were reading another passage that definitely added to the class. But we are to keep our minds, our hearts. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the Israelites were told this. And the reason that they were told this is because if we keep our hearts with diligence, we are going to keep them on the right path. We're going to continue to serve God, to do His will. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Friends, life or death exists depending upon how diligent we keep our heart. And when I'm talking about life or death, I'm not talking about physical life on this earth or death on this earth, physical death. I'm talking about life and death spiritually. Keeping the heart, not the blood pump, involves guarding and protecting that inner part of our being. And it's to be kept because from it are the issues of life. Stop and think about it. The things that we do and say, where do they originate? They begin in the heart, the mind. In Mark chapter 7, verses 20 and 23, we see that Jesus was speaking and he was talking about this. He said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things cometh from within and defile the man. So the key to doing and saying the right thing is to keep the heart. Be diligent in keeping that heart proper and correct. And as you turn to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, know that to keep the Bible heart, the mind, we must think properly. The only way to think properly is to put the right stuff in the mind. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 warns against following ourselves or allowing ourselves to be swayed by those with an evil eye, the influence of those who are concentrating and focusing on evil. Keep in mind also that one who has an evil eye has ulterior motives. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. In other words, he that with an evil eye does not have other folks' best interest in mind. There are some things on a list in the Bible whereby we are to keep our mind straight. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Those who would be faithful Christians would be diligent in keeping our thoughts aligned with God's word. Think on these things is the concluding words of this verse. And it's very important. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Why? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if we think on things that, if we are spend our time thinking upon things of the world, what are we going to be drawn to? The things of the world. If we spend our time focused upon the Word of God, where are we going to be drawn to? The Word of God, living in accordance to that which God has given us. So we are to keep our hearts with all diligence. God's people are also to diligently seek God. Now that may sound a little off because Christians have found God. But we need to continually seek. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 is about faith. We're very familiar with this passage. But one who doesn't have faith or has a flagging or faltering faith cannot be pleasing to God. Let me repeat this. One who does not have faith or one who has a faith that is faltering cannot be pleasing to God. Why? Because their mind will be focused on other things. Incidentally, one with a weak or faltering faith needn't expect a reward such as they desire. You know, I don't know of anybody who is looking forward to eternity in hell. I know some people who seemingly don't care, but I don't know anyone who is actively seeking to spend eternity separated from God and in pain and misery or whatever hell consists of. But those who are not diligently seeking God are going to get just that. an eternity of pain, an eternity of suffering, an eternity of misery. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Who is this? He's writing it to Christians. Just like Christians today, we must continually, diligently seek God. Where do we find God? The evidence of God is all around us, but where do we find God? In his word. We must continue to be in his word. How are we to seek him? Lackadaisically? Flipping every once in a while to a passage, somebody says something, and we say, oh yeah, I think I read something about that over in Isaiah. No. How about slothfully? Lazily? Waveringly? No. Absolutely not. The diligent seeking of God through following his word, rightly dividing it, and putting forth effort results in eternal reward. Do you want to go to heaven? The answer to that should be a resounding yes. Are you willing to be diligent in service and worship and work for God? If you want that reward. You know, believing in God is essential. It is commendable, provided that belief is in full accordance with God's word. However, as you turn to James chapter 2 and verse 19, contrary to many in the religious world, believing in God alone will not save. This is a passage that should help all to see that there is more to do than just believe. Yes, we must believe. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must believe that God is the master of all, and that his plan has been put forth so that men can be saved. That plan is in Christ. But notice what was pointed out here. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. How many devils do you suppose have been saved? In addition to believing in God, he wants us to diligently seek him and seek his will. How are we going to know how to serve God if we don't seek him? How are we going to know how to serve God if we don't know what his will is? What would you have me do, Lord? Faith, which pleases God, is an obedient, working, diligent faith. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please him. James chapter 2 and verse 17, just a few verses back, tells us that faith that is not coupled with works is useless as a screen door on a submarine. It's not going to work. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Dead means lifeless, useless, ineffective. And while we're there in James, let me point out James chapter 2 and verse 24. Is the only place in the scripture where faith only occurs, and it's coupled with not by. When such a negative is applied to faith only in God's word, why do so many people readily embrace such a doctrine? All that they have to do is believe, or faith only. It's very simple. It's because they are not diligently following God's word. The passage reads, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. We've got to believe, and then we've got to be diligent in our service to God. Here's a question for you. Should not everyone want to be justified? I think so. If so, they're going to need to seek God diligently in accordance to his word. And justification from God cannot be had by following man-made doctrine. It cannot be had by holding to tradition. It cannot be had by doing what feels right. and God will reward those who diligently seek him. In conjunction or connection with seeking God, consider 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. We're very familiar with this passage. We use it oftentimes, and we use it as if we are to stay in the Word of God, read and learn and become more familiar with it. But studying this passage does not have the same meaning that we usually associate it with it. We usually regard the word study as the devotion of time and attention to acquiring knowledge, especially by means of books. But if you look up the word there in the Greek, it has with it the idea to giving diligence. Give diligence to show thyself approved unto God is the concept, the idea that is being put forth. Involved in this, of course, is the learning of the Word of God, but it means to also diligently apply God's Word. It's not just enough to know it. I have heard of a fellow who could who could quote great portions of the Bible. You could perhaps say, hey, quote part of Matthew, and he would begin quoting off the Scripture. It's a great talent to have, a great ability to have. But what if it's not combined with obedience? It means absolutely nothing. But giving diligence also means to properly apply God's word, handling it aright, living it day in, day out, regardless of the consequences, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what others think of you. Anytime when we're living our lives according to the Word of God and somebody questions it, we go to the Word of God and we say, this is why we do this, this is why we follow this, this is why we live this way. That should put things to rest. But we have to be diligent. God wants us to give diligence in showing ourselves approved unto him. And we do this by seeking him. We do this by striving to know his will. How else are we going to know what God would have us do? And God wants us to give diligence to make our election sure. Oftentimes people read this passage about being the elect or being saints, and they misunderstand what this means. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 states exactly this idea. God wants his people to give diligence to make their election sure. This was sent from God through the Spirit to give to Peter to write to those of like precious faith. Notice what he said. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Do what things? The things previously listed. Striving to serve God, to do his will. Striving to know, to add to all these Christian virtues into our lives. This is an inspired guarantee. Have you ever thought about that? If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. What does that mean? That means it's a promise from God that if you will do these things and you are diligent in these things, you will not stumble and fall. Why? Because you're going to be filling your mind with the Word of God. You're going to be bringing your body into subjection. You're going to be striving to serve God. You're going to be striving to set the right example before others. You're going to be striving to take the Word of God to those who have never heard it. Despite what many people believe, the Bible teaches that the child of God can fall and that the child of God can, sadly, fall away. There is a difference. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 expresses for us a most sad situation, perhaps one of the saddest things that the world has seen. This is a person who has obeyed the gospel and has allowed themselves to become again choked by the cares of the world, or whatever the case may be. Departure from God and developing a hard heart results in disastrous results for eternity. How did these people get to that point? It's very simple. A lack of diligence. What was Peter directed to write there? For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. They heard about Jesus Christ. They asked the question, hey, what are we supposed to do in order to participate in this? And they told them what to do. We're going to point out the invitation here in just a little bit. And we're going to go through all of those steps. And they did these things. And in so doing, they had escaped the pollutions of the world. And notice, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. You know, I think a lot of times people want to apply that just to folks in the church who have left. Just those who have departed. Friends, many times as the church meets, there are folks gathered with the church that meet this same criteria. Why? Because they have not been diligent. Because their hearts, minds have become seared. Verse 21 tells us, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Why? Because they are now in a lost condition. Why? Because of slothfulness. Because of being lackadaisical. Remember the church in Laodicea? I would that thou wert either cold nor hot. But because thou art neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. While we're talking about diligence, think about what it must be like to be rejected by God. We are to diligently develop and grow in the Christian graces. Those things that are listed in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. We need to crowd our minds with these things and then push out the wicked, vain, and evil thoughts. We need to be diligent on thinking on these things. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Of course, we have faith. We believe in God. We obey the gospel. But add to your faith virtue. And to virtue knowledge. We need to fill our minds with the word of God, that we might displace all of those negative things. And to knowledge temperance. Self-control. We need to be in control of ourselves daily. And the way to do that is to put God's word in our minds. Remember how the Lord overcame all the temptations? I know that 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that there's a way of escape for every temptation that has come upon man. But Jesus showed us that way. And what did he use? He used the word of God. It is written. Self-control. And to temperance, or self-control, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. You know what? If we are diligent in learning God's word and applying God's word and living in accordance to God's word, all of the good things that are put forth here will be manifested through our actions. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9 points out the condition of those who lacks these graces. One cannot be pleasing unto God, nor can they have the hope of heaven if they lack these things. Because in such a state, they have separated themselves once again from God. Stop and consider. As an infant, they were innocent. They were in a safe relationship. Then sin entered into their lives, their knowledge of good and evil. And that they became sinful beings. Then they came out of that sinful state by obeying the gospel, becoming a child of God, and then allowed themselves to become lacking in these things. Peter is directed by the Spirit here to warn, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, In other words, they cannot see what their future is, their future of destruction, condemnation, eternal suffering. Why? Because he's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's why we got to crucify the works of the flesh. We will certainly be blessed if we possess these graces, if we give diligence in attending to them. Notice verse 8 there, 2 Peter chapter 1. Not only must they be in us, but they must also abound. That means they must flourish. And they cannot, they will not, unless or until we are diligent toward Bible study. Unless or until we are diligent on meditation on the Word of God. Unless or until we make application of those things in our daily lives. Peter was directed to write there, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then if you look forward to verse 11, you see an eternal benefit. The eternal benefit of diligent faithfulness to God. The eternal benefit of being diligent toward God's word. "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful thing. Friends, it's not enough just to get started. We've got to continue on. We have to press on. We have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. The Bible teaches Christians to show diligence so we can receive the reward that God has promised. So let us keep our hearts with diligence. Let us diligently seek God and His will. Let us give diligence to making our calling and election sure. But let us also, in so doing, make sure that other people know what God's plan is, so that they too can have the hope of eternal life. That plan is very simple, and it's one that Christians should be very, very familiar with. Matter of fact, in an effort to help folks, we provided bookmarks with the gospel plan of salvation. It's very simple. One must hear the word of God. John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, as Jesus was speaking of that kingdom that was soon to come, he said, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." He said, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me." But we must also believe. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What are we to believe? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We are to repent. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, Philip told those folks there, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He believed and he made confession. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 tells us, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." What was that eunuch allowed to do? What was he able to do because of that? It was to be baptized. Mark 16 and verse 16, again, the words of Jesus, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." After we are baptized, our diligence should not stop. You know, we sought to do what God would have us do to become saved. Should we not also be diligent to remain saved? That's why I often tell people that the hardest part of the gospel plan of salvation is perhaps the last part, living faithfully until death. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, the Spirit had Paul put it this way, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." What was he saying there? Diligence, faithful service to God. Diligence, continuance in the Word of God. If you're a Christian and you have faltered in building your diligence, You have faltered in remaining diligent, and because of that you have unrepented sin. I have a responsibility to you, and that is to tell you. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance through the acknowledging of the truth. And if you're in that state, then you have a responsibility toward God, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. And that opportunity is available this morning. That plan also is very simple. Some people have called it the second law of pardon. It's found in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Applies only to those who are children of God, who for whatever reason have not been diligent, have allowed themselves to be entangled again within the world. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. As we contemplate our eternity this morning, ask ourselves, are we diligent? Have we been diligent enough that we are prepared to meet God? If you need to make changes in your life, now's the time to make them. If you need to respond to the invitation, now is the time. Let us stand and let us sing the first and second verses of our invitation hymn.